The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On The Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Listener supported, WNYC Studios.
Now, in the office here, hanging up all around the halls, we've got blow-ups of great cartoons published in The New Yorker over the decades. They're fun. Visitors love them, but I guess for the cartoonists themselves, sometimes they can be a little weird.
I passed one of my cartoons in the hallway, and, you know, it's this man and a woman fighting, and they're so blocky. Once someone said my cartoon characters are fat, I thought it was a very pejorative thing to say about my people. But anyhow, the one thing that I do notice when I walk by this image of these two people fighting is, like, it's the most unsexy world. I still can't access sexiness in cartoons at all. Even when I write TV shows, I can only really write a bad sex scene.
That's Bruce Eric Kaplan, who's not only a cartoonist of amazingly unsexy people, but a TV writer with quite a list of credits to his name. Seinfeld, Six Feet Under, and Girls. Kaplan's calling as a writer began in New Jersey, in the suburbs, where he lived what he calls a normal childhood, which is to say, hours upon hours upon hours of television.
When I watched TV, it was like I was living. I was seeing what life was. Life was about, like, connection and banter and wit and passion.
From Television City in Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen, Sonny and Cher.
In the summer, every now and then, a summer variety show would come on. And that was so great because these summer variety shows were just not as produced, looser. The outfits would be lower. You would see more cleavage on the women, like Cher's cleavage. I mean, Cher's cleavage was so intense when you were a kid. I don't remember anything analogous to it.
Cher is the sex symbol of the show, and it's structured that way. I mean, you can see everything.
So I still can't believe. Like, why were you allowed to see that?
I'm sure there are some men who find you sexy. I'm sure there are some men who find you sexy.
And then you would see that during the summer, and then in the fall you'd go back to Carol Burnett, and she had her, like, dress up to here, you know. Same costumer, by the way, Bob Mackie. It was like Bob Mackie went crazy during the summer.
Did you say I've got a lot to learn?
So much I can't tell you.
Don't you think I'm trying not to learn?
Since this is a perfect spot to learn. Teach me
I was, you know, addicted to television. Television is how I learned about life. It was like my third parent, because my parents didn't teach me anything. That was how I learned what life was. During the year, I was an enormous Carol Burnett fan, watched it every week. And I remember one summer, the Melba Moore Clifton Davis show appeared instead of a rerun of the Carol Burnett show.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. And welcome to our first show of the summer season.
Hey, how about a good luck kiss?
Now, honey, not in front of millions of people.
I am not ashamed of the way I feel about you. I have nothing to hide, so lay it on me.
Oh, no, my mama told me about boys like you.
And they were this couple. I guess he was an actor and she was a singer.
Whew, now that is a kiss. Mm-hmm. Now tell me, didn't your hands tremble and your legs go weak?
Yeah, but I might have the flu.
You know what summer really showed me is, if you let your guard down, things could be great. I never really understood my parents' relationship. There didn't seem to be a real ease between them a lot of the time, and I was scared. When I looked at my parents, I was scared that, like, oh my God, that's what a relationship is. That's fucking scary. And then when I would look at TV, I would be like, oh, that's what a relationship could be like. I would study things on TV like Melba Moore and Clifton Davis, and be like, a relationship could be fun. These people are having fun. They're having a good time. Like, the last thing my parents had was a good time.
When I was 15 and my family came to the island for the summer, there weren't nearly as many houses or people as there are now.
Television taught me about relationships, and I guess then it taught me about sex. I think I plotted watching Summer of 42. I think I read the description, and I was like, I need to see this. And I saw it was on at 11:45 and went down to watch it. It felt like a memoir because it had a narrator named Hermie, and it was in the first person about the Summer of 42 when the writer was a teenager, like in some summer place, like a beach community, and he and his two best friends, they fixated on this young woman who was married, whose husband was away at war.
And that house up there, that was her house.
The narrator befriends her.
And nothing from that first day I saw her, and no one that has happened to me since,
covered in goosebumps,
has ever been as frightening and as confusing.
She's very upset one night, and they have sex. And then you find out there was a letter that her husband had died in the war, and that she turned to Hermie for comfort. It was so mind-blowing, the idea that you were 14 or so, and you could have sex. You could have sex with an adult woman. I'm a parent, and you would think, looking back on this now, I would be horrified, but it was so specific a story. It was like the Summer of 42 could just happen once in the world. This was it. You were seeing the one time someone this young could sleep with this beautiful woman. And even if you look at the title, it's the Summer of 42. It's not 42. Summer is when something crazy can happen. When I was a kid, I loved the TV so much that I wanted to crawl inside of it. And I think, you know, when I became a TV writer, I actually did. I got to be on the other side. I get to be in the TV when I'm on a set. But what I just realized in thinking about these summer variety shows and things I would watch during the summer is that I moved to Los Angeles. When I was 21, I moved to Los Angeles. It's Always Summer.
Bruce Eric Kaplan, writer and cartoonist in Los Angeles.